Going Linux, a very special episode. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy. This episode of Going Linux is very special because we're bringing you a recording of my live radio appearance on the Computer America show from April 15th, 2008. I was invited by Kerry Holtzman and Craig Crossman to appear on the Computer America radio show during their regular Linux segment on the third Tuesday of every month. Computer America is a computer radio talk show broadcast nationally across the United States and has been running for over 17 years. I was honored to be invited on the show by Craig and Kerry, and I'm even more honored that they asked me back. Let's get right into the episode, and if you're listening, guys, thanks again for having me on Computer America.
Broadcasting live, it's America's longest-running national radio talk show on computers, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. Look for Craig's weekly column in your favorite newspaper. This show is being beamed nationwide by the Business Talk Radio Network, the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, and on the internet at ComputerAmerica.com. Keep it here for technology news, computer products, guest interviews, and your phone calls. You're listening to Computer America.
Hello and welcome into the Computer America Show, the nation's longest-running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. It's Tuesday, April the 15th, 2008, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
I'm your co-host, Kerry Holtzman.
And, hey, Kerry, I don't know what that is, but there it is. Welcome into the Computer America Show, and I am in my, I don't want to say new location, old location, but I have moved back to North Carolina, and I'm here. And I am hearing some strange humming sound, but I don't know what that is, and so we'll just have to figure it out. I didn't hear it during the test, so I'm not sure what that is.
Murphy's Law.
Anyhow, welcome into the program, and I'm still not settled in, you know, getting everything back together and hooked up, but I'm sure by the end of the week I will certainly have that all worked out. In the meantime, we have a very interesting show planned for you. And I understand you had a good show yesterday, too. I wasn't able to listen to it because I was still in the process of setting up and everything. But how'd it go yesterday?
It was a great show, as always, when we have Scott Mueller on the show. And, of course, the archives are available for anybody who missed it. They can certainly have the next 2 weeks to download the MP3s that are 18 megs apiece. There's two of them. And we talked a bit about details about Windows XP, what to look for in buying a laptop. We dived into a lot of different topics, and those were the sort of the main things that everything branched off of, that our discussions branched off of.
Well, good. Well, what we do traditionally here at Computer America is dedicate a show to the topic of Linux, because it's becoming a major operating system, and we'd like to do that. Actually, it looks like we might be dedicating more than one show this month to Linux. But we're going to get started on, unless there was any other old business or anything you want to take care of before we move on.
Well, ready to roll.
Okay. Well, as I said, the Linux operating system continues to become more and more popular, especially in the wake of Microsoft's latest Windows iteration, Vista. A lot of people are wondering, maybe Linux might be right for me. Actually, as I said, we're devoting the entire show to Linux. Larry Bushy is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. If you have any interest at all in Linux, make sure you listen to both hours of tonight's show. And even if you haven't considered Linux after tonight, you might just change your mind and give it a try. Larry, welcome into Computer America. Hello, Larry. Are you there?
I am. Hello.
Ah, there he is. Okay. Hi. Welcome. Yes. Welcome into the show.
Well, thanks very much for inviting me on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. Kerry actually is the one who invited you on, and he has some very good things to say about you. And tell us a little bit about the Going Linux podcast.
Well, the Going Linux podcast is a podcast for primarily new computer users. And it is something that helps computer users to use Linux to get things done. We provide practical day-to-day advice for people switching to Linux or who are trying to build their competence and confidence with Linux as a new operating system.
Now, how long has the Going Linux podcast been airing?
Just over a year.
Okay.
Started in January last year.
And what gave you the the idea? What was the germ of the idea for making a podcast out of it?
Well, I had been podcasting for a couple of years before that on Windows-based topics. I'm a Windows power user at work and had been giving a number of tips and tricks to users at work and decided to share that knowledge on a podcast with Windows listeners as well. But then as I began to move into Linux myself, I was looking for some sort of support that would give me as a new user some help with learning Linux. And it turned out that there really wasn't anything out there that was somewhere between the evangelist podcasts where they're bashing Windows and they're bashing Macintosh computers and evangelizing Linux, and the technology podcasts that get into the nuts and the bolts and all the detail that scares off new listeners. So I thought I would start up one that would help me learn as well as help new listeners as well to learn how to use this operating system called Linux.
Now, when you're podcast, are you primarily talking about things that you've dealt with personally, or are you dealing with listeners who write in with questions and help them overcome the obstacles that they face?
Well, actually, we do two podcasts a month. One is what we call listener or user experience, rather, and that focuses in on the things that Tom, my co-host, and I have had experience in doing, and we pick from not only our own experience and topics that would be of interest to us as Linux users, but also the kinds of things that any computer user would want to know about how to use their computer better, except that we focus on how to do that with Linux. The second podcast episode of the month is focused exclusively on listener feedback, and we get emails, we get voicemails, and we address listener questions as they're posed to us, or even just listener comments. And so it's not only our experiences, but the experiences of all of our listeners.
And when the listeners, what, they call in and you play back their messages, or are they strictly all done through email? How's that work?
Well, we certainly do email, and we actually read the email message pretty much in its entirety, unless it's an extremely long email message. And then we also have a listener feedback line, telephone line for voicemail, and
Okay.
we play those on the show as well, and then answer whatever questions the folks might have at that point.
Well, we're a little familiar with that, aren't we, Craig? All right.
Yes,
so
we are. Yeah.
I thought maybe we could, for tonight's topic, talk a little bit about some of the questions that you've received, maybe some of the common ones to start out with, or maybe some of the more recent ones as well.
Sure. Well, the common questions that we get are really centered in three different areas. One is questions about different applications on Linux, and especially from people moving from Windows to Linux or other operating systems to Linux. What applications are equivalent in Linux as to what I'm using on Windows primarily? Another would be how to use something familiar, like how to move Thunderbird email or Firefox bookmarks from Windows to Linux, or even from one Linux box to a new Linux box. Let's say they're installing a new version of Linux on a brand new computer. How do I move my stuff, all my stuff,
sure,
from one computer to another? So we have had that question an awful lot, and we tend to respond to the repeated questions by email. The third area is the kinds of questions that we get by way of the website. And the most frequent question that we get is, how do I get icons on my Linux desktop?
How they get, you know, icons? You mean like shortcuts?
Like shortcuts, exactly. Some Linux distributions are configured with sort of a clean look. They don't have any icons at all. And so for someone moving from Windows to Linux, that can often be pretty startling when you start up your brand new Linux installation and there's nothing on the desktop, literally nothing on the desktop. So we get a lot of questions about how do I put these icons? Where's my computer icon? Where is my documents icon? And we have an article on
where's
our
my documents icon? That's
sorry?
Good. Where's my documents icon? Where's my Windows update icon?
That's it. Yes, we get those kind of questions too.
Okay. And what would you say would be sort of the biggest obstacle that people seem to need to overcome when switching from Windows to Linux?
Well, there are really a couple of different things that prevent people from moving from Windows to Linux. One is probably fear of the unknown. Barriers to change. You know, people are comfortable doing things the way they've always done them or using things that they've always used. Fortunately for Linux, frustration with Windows Vista is helping with that conversion over to Linux because folks really need to understand and learn a brand new operating system, even moving from Windows XP to Vista.
And so, amen to that, brother.
So many people take the plunge at that point and say, you know, if I've got to learn something new, let me learn Linux.
Sure.
Let me give that a try. Another big obstacle, I think, is just Linux's reputation as being difficult to use or an operating system for geeks. And distributions, Linux distributions like Ubuntu and others that are focused on new users of the operating system, they're helping to turn that stuff around. They really are. And I think that is one of the biggest things helping Linux adoption these days is the fact that there are so many Linux distributors, Linux distributions that focus on the new new user and try to make it easy for them to learn how to use this new thing.
And what would you say that do you get a feel from the callers when they're switching over and they've got these questions, they're a little frustrated, they're trying to, you know, they're trying.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea how many just give up and go back to Windows? Do you get calls like that where people have said, look, I really want to like this. I really want to use it.
Yeah, we do. And I can't give you a hard and fast percentage of how many.
A ballpark.
But sure. And I think at this point it's probably half or more switch back to Windows. And
okay. That's getting better, though. Wouldn't you assume that that's getting better? Like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, or even prior to that, it would have been a lower percentage, and that Linux is in fact getting easier to use.
And
more people who try it probably today are sticking with it than say people who tried it a few years ago.
That is absolutely correct. I've noticed a trend, even amongst our listeners in the short time that we've been doing podcasting, and maybe it's because we're attracting the Linux users, but I don't think so. We've got about half of our listeners are using Linux, and half of them are using something else, primarily Windows, but we have some Macintosh listeners as well. And I've noticed a trend that fewer and fewer people seem to be switching back to whatever their former operating system is, but there's still a significant number. It's definitely not something where Linux can declare a victory at this point.
Larry, we're going to take a little break, and we'll continue on here. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. Larry Bushy, the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast, joins us for both hours of this show. It's all about Linux. We're here to answer your questions about Linux as well. Stay with us. This is Computer America.
Come
Computer America is the longest-running national radio show on computers. Check it out at ComputerAmerica.com. Computer America airs every weeknight from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the Business Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number. Live at ComputerAmerica.com, the email address, or our chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. Hour and next hour, Carrie and I are talking to Larry Bushy, who is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. We're dedicating the entire show to the subject and topic of Linux. And if you have a question, certainly this is an opportunity for you to call in with that question and ask it, 866-606-TALK.
So let's see. We're talking a bit about some of the common problems or questions people have in working with Linux. But I guess before we get to that, what would be the recommended distribution that somebody just starting to learn Linux or wanting to experience Linux, would you recommend them to try first?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, there are a number of distributions out there that focus in on new users. And the one that is probably the most popular right now is one that, of course, is focused on new users, and that is Ubuntu. Mm-hmm. There are several flavors of Ubuntu, if you will, and depending on what you want your desktop environment to be, and I realize that for people who aren't familiar with Linux, that might be an unfamiliar term, but Ubuntu is probably the one that I recommend more often than just about anything else. There are others out there like OpenSUSE and Red Hat is one of the others that may not necessarily be a new user distribution, but it is certainly one that's been out there a long time and a lot of people
respect.
It's
a popular distribution.
Exactly. Sure. But the one, as I said, the one that I recommend the most is probably Ubuntu because it's got a lot of support for it, and it really does make a new user to Linux feel more comfortable.
All right. Well, do you have some questions perhaps that, I don't know, like that, let's say this was your podcast. I'd like to hear sort of the flow of it. If that makes sense. Well, did you understand my request,
yeah,
or was I?
Yeah,
it was
I
a pause there.
Yeah. So what you're asking me is, what kind of a question might we get, and how might we go about answering it?
You got it.
Okay. Well, for example, the question that I raised earlier, where someone might ask, "How do I move my Firefox bookmarks from one computer to another? Let's say from Windows to Firefox in Linux." One of the things that my co-host and I do is to talk a little bit about what is the concept, kind of summarize for those people not familiar with it, what is going on here, and bookmarks under Firefox or favorites under Internet Explorer are things that, of course, are shortcuts to websites. And one of the things that Firefox allows you to do is to save those bookmarks into a file that then when you install Firefox on a new computer, you don't have to create all of those bookmarks over again. You take that file and you import them. So one of the things we would do is we would describe the process just as I have done, kind of a general overview, and then we would walk the user through it or the listener through it step by step. And so we would, not with the listener on the phone or anything like that, but rather
right,
walk through the steps. So if there are five or six steps, we would describe them, and then we would refer to a page on our website that has that documented so that if somebody could follow along while they're at their computer, they're welcome to do that and play the podcast and listen to the audio. But we realize that many people listening to podcasts are doing that at the gym or in their car.
Oh, sure.
And so we want to make sure that whenever we have step-by-step instructions, that we have them on the website as well. Or if there is a good place to find them on the web, to direct them there.
All right. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number. Back with Larry of the Going Linux podcast right after this. Welcome back to the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at ComputerAmerica.com, the email address, or our chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. Carrie and I are talking to Larry Bushy. He is the creator and co-host of the Going Linux podcast, a podcast that's basically dedicated to the subject of all things having to do with the Linux operating system. We have him here on tonight's show. On for both hours because basically it's an important operating system. I know so many of our listeners out there are either using Linux or thinking about using Linux and have lots of questions for him, and we will continue on with the interview. Carrie, I know you're right in the middle.
Yeah, thanks. One of the things that I find working in the world of Windows is there are a lot of older techs, people that have been in a technical profession, mm-hmm. and as Windows has changed, they haven't. So there's still a lot of these old school thoughts and processes that were true of older operating systems for Microsoft, but not true of today's Windows. And I was curious, does that same, because basically you can get some really bad advice from people. People tell you to partition because it saves hard drive space and
sure.
You know, defragmenting and things that used to be true but aren't true anymore as the operating system has evolved. Do the similar situations exist in the Linux world?
They do. There are certainly some old school folks out there, but with Linux, you have to remember that there are a lot of different flavors of Linux out there, a lot of different distributions, and each one is geared to a different kind of user. As I mentioned, Ubuntu and OpenSUSE and some of the newer Linux distributions on the market have focused in on the new inexperienced user who may be switching from Windows or Mac where things are done for them. And then there are other Linux distributions out there that are geared for the person who wants to do it themselves, who want to get in there, roll up their sleeves, and compile a kernel or basically build a Linux distribution from scratch. And so a lot of the folks with the old school advice can be a very big benefit to those people using that traditional techie flavor of Linux. The newer users need to be aware, though, that if you are getting the kind of advice that tells you that you need to be running the command line to repartition your hard drive or do some other tasks that seem a little bit techie, maybe they're getting
right.
some old school advice that may not be appropriate for a new user.
Well, I mean, I love the command line in Windows. I mean, I'll go to Windows command line and get things done sometimes a bit quicker, although
oh,
maybe
absolutely.
Not quite as elegantly. You know, like getting an IP address or something is pretty straightforward at the command line. And
yep.
I'm glad that I had that experience to be around in the early DOS days to have learned it. I don't know what it would be like to try and learn it today. But, you know, when I moved to Linux, me personally, like I tried Ubuntu. The version that's just prior to the version that's out now. I don't remember mm-hmm. the numbers. And, for example, everything sort of was auto-detected, but my built-in network card on an Intel motherboard, and then I was stuck. I mean, I didn't know where to turn, where to get a driver, how to install the driver, and ended up giving up, throwing in the towel, and going back to Windows again.
That's a big frustration for new users, is that it is so new that if something goes wrong, you have absolutely no idea where to turn.
Well, that's it, and it's a critical thing. I mean, I might have been able to look online for the solution had I been able to get online, right?
Yeah.
So, exactly. I mean, if anything, if it was a video card driver or something, at least I could have taken some time to search it out and download and experiment. But, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break here, just a quick 60-second break. When we come back, though, we'll talk some more about Linux and some of the questions you get asked. And the answers to those questions when we return back in 60 seconds with Computer America. Stay with us. And we're back with the Computer America show. This entire show dedicated to Linux, talking with creator and host of the Going Linux podcast, Larry Bushy. And Larry, I don't think there's any doubt that Microsoft's latest DRM, you know, solutions, and I use that word solution very loosely, is pushing people to Open Office. I don't think that Microsoft is doing themselves any favors with refusing to sell Windows XP, at least last I heard, after June 30th, forcing people into Windows Vista. It does seem to be pushing people to Mac and Linux.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's at least getting more people to consider looking at Linux and to download an image for a live CD, put it into their CD drive, and boot to it, and just see if it works and see what all this talk about Linux is about.
Yeah, well, and again, and that was sort of my experience with the version before the last. You know, I suppose if I try the latest version, that problem may be whipped by now, for all I know. But, you know, one of the issues that people don't seem to talk about, but it's a big issue, particularly for business owners, is the retraining, not only of the business owners themselves, but of their employees and the productivity and time lost during that process. And I was wondering if you had any wisdom regarding that.
Well, sure. I think for a large business, unless there is some overwhelming reason to move away from Windows, they shouldn't. It is a big undertaking. It is something that would require some significant training. On the other hand, if you're a small business or if you are a business of any size that is fed up of paying Microsoft every time they upgrade something for a new version of it, then Linux might be something that you would want to try, primarily because of fewer problems with viruses and spyware and those kinds of things. And my recommendation to companies who would want to ease into it rather than do it as a big bang would be to begin using open source software of one sort or another. Start with things like Firefox, or switch to OpenOffice instead of Microsoft Office. The learning curve for those things is much less steep than moving whole hog into a whole new world and a whole new language to learn of Linux, but it gets users used to dealing with open source software and the kinds of first-class, well-written software that's out there, and yet give them an opportunity to look for the support online for those sorts of things that they would have to do with Linux anyway, get used to dealing with the open source community, and then when they do make the switch of the operating system, they've learned all the applications they're going to learn already, so the transition to Linux is much less.
Would you say that it's an investment that has a much higher return than, say, learning other operating systems, be it Mac or Windows? Because as you mentioned, you're going to have to learn, if you're going to go from XP to Vista, you may have to buy upgrades to your Quicken software. And so now, not only do you have to relearn how to use Vista, but now you've got to relearn how to use Quicken. You may have to buy upgrades to other software or even hardware that also require an even steeper learning curve as you continue, only to end up doing exactly what you were doing before, to ultimately be forced into some other operating system Microsoft shoves down your throat and repeat the process. Would you be better off taking that same time and effort without the financial expense to going to Linux, finding other applications that do those jobs, and then reap the rewards over time? Does that make sense?
Yeah, certainly the financial implication of moving to Linux is much less than moving to any other operating system, primarily because there is no cost, no financial cost to acquiring the operating system. And for a business, let's say you're using Windows XP or Windows Vista on the desktop for individual users, and you're using a Windows server to run your corporate server, you're paying for the software, you're paying for major upgrades to the new operating system, but you're also paying Microsoft for support. And for the company who wants to switch to Linux, the initial cost of the software is nil, but the cost of support should the company choose to do that, is there. It's about equitable to what you'd be paying for support for a Microsoft operating system as well. But it is available, and it's also first-class support for the Linux operating system. So the barrier to entry is less from a financial perspective, but realistically, it's probably more to learn, unless, of course, you're moving from XP to Vista, in which case there's a significant enough difference between XP
and Vista. Don't get him started, Larry.
No, I agree with him. I agree with him. He's right. And, you know, the other issue then is other ways you can use Linux. You don't have to use it on your desktop. I have a client that has a SonicWall $1,000 firewall, and he has to pay a license every year to keep the employees from going places they shouldn't be going. And I understand that with Linux, although, again, I wasn't able to – I didn't spend enough time with it, but it wasn't clear to me because they had terminology like the red side and the green side. I didn't understand what any of that meant with regards to programs like IPCOP and or something like that, or COP filter, where you can actually take an old computer that doesn't have the processing power to throw Windows XP on it, let's say, or even if it does, and put Linux on there and use it as your router, as an advanced router, to filter out these things without having to pay those license fees or have some expensive proprietary router.
Yep. Yeah, and that's one of the advantages of Linux over Windows, is that it doesn't have to have a graphical user interface. And so it finds its way into things like routers, things like firewalls, things like television sets. Although it's not the same distribution of Linux that the end user would be using on their desktop, it is Linux at its core, and it is the same operating system with the same commands that run it. And for someone who's familiar with that command line, they can move as easily within the server environment or the router environment as they can in the desktop.
That's interesting, because people may already have equipment in their house running Linux, and they don't even know it. Maybe, say, a TiVo or a Linksys router?
Sure. Or even a television set. Some of the newest high-definition TVs are running Linux. If you look at the back of your TV and you see something called the GPL or the GNU Public License, your TV is running Linux.
What would the TV be running Linux for? I mean, what would Linux be doing on a TV?
You know, it's an embedded version of Linux. It's not the same thing that you would be running on your Linux desktop to run applications.
Right.
But it would be the same thing as, let's say, running a Windows mobile on a cell phone. You wouldn't expect to be running the same Windows applications on your cell phone as you would on your Windows desktop, but the Windows version there does run the cell phone. It helps you make the calls and keeps the database running in the background. Same thing with Linux in all of these kinds of devices. There are Linux cell phones out there as well. So Linux would be running the TV. It would be making it work, essentially. And like I said, it's not doing the same things as it would be if it were running a word processor, but it is keeping the thing up and running and the signals processing through it and displaying the display on the screen and so on.
Are any cars running Linux?
I don't know.
I know that it's kind of a crazy world where you take your car in because it's, you know, the idle isn't idling right, and they go, oh, yeah, I just needed a software update. That's a crazy world we live in. I just can't imagine my big screen TV needing a software update. That's kind of freaky. But on the other hand, also promising that theoretically you could add features to the TV and keep the TV more up to date through a software update, theoretically.
Well, I'll tell you what. In the line of keeping with things updated properly, we're going to have to do one right now. It's a commercial update, but we'll be right back. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, talking to Larry Bushy, the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. We'll continue with him this hour and next hour. Stay with us. are talking to Larry Bushy, who is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. And, yes, I am talking. But by the way, Jerry Carrick says that he can't hear me, so I'm not sure what's going on. But Larry,
you're there now.
Oh, okay. I've been talking all this time. Yeah, okay. So talking to Larry Bushy, the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. And Larry, we don't have another full hour with you, but why don't you let people know where they could go to hear the Going Linux podcast? We'll do that in each hour.
Sure. You can go to goinglinux.com. It's as simple as that.
Okay, and of course, what we'll do is we'll have a link to that, Kerry, in our show notes. We have a it's a blog, but it's our daily blog. We call it our show notes, a button, and you just click on that at the Computer America website, and we'll have a link to that there as well. As I said, if you're just joining us, Larry is going to continue on with us into the second hour of the Computer America show, dedicating the entire 2 hours of the program to Linux tonight.
Of course, if you have a question about Linux, it's a great night to ask it. You can call us. It's toll-free, 866-606-TALK. It's 866-606-8255. That'll get you on and get you through. We'll be happy to answer whatever Linux-related questions you've got. You can also email us. The email address is live, L-I-V-E, at ComputerAmerica.com, or join us in our chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. Larry's hanging out in there along with Craig and myself and many of our listeners. And, of course, you're welcome there as well.
There you go. All right, well, we've got another full hour of the Computer America show coming up, as I said. I just want to also congratulate this week's Buddy List winner, Mark Thumel. Mark wins the brand new Logitech Wave keyboard. Congratulations, Mark. And you also win a copy of PC Tools Internet Security Suite. This is PC Tools' all-in-one security suite featuring their award-winning anti-spyware, antivirus, firewall, and spam protection. And also, let me remind you that when we receive a call, an email, a feedback, or a chat room visit from someone who's outside of North America, that person is eligible to receive a copy of PC Tools' latest version of Spyware Doctor, now in its version 5.5. The latest. By the way, Kerry, we just had a feedback from one of our winners here, and I'm just trying to – oh, here it is. This is Craig and Kerry. Thank you so very much for picking my name as the Buddy List winner on April the 4th. It was so exciting to hear my name on the radio. I love your show. Both of you and guests, both of you and the guests are so interesting that I listened when you discuss Macs and Linux. even though I own no Apple products and do not use Linux. How's that? Thanks again for the prizes and for your great radio show. That's from Nora Tamaki. So you see,
hey, nothing wrong with wanting to learn how the other half lives, right?
Exactly. There you go. So again, congratulations to Mark Thumel, this week's Buddy List winner. If you're not on our Buddy List, just go to ComputerAmerica.com. On the homepage there, you'll see it says get on our buddy list. Just put in your first and last name and your email address and click the join button. You'll get an email making sure that it is, in fact, you who wants to be on the buddy list. And then you'll just reply to that. It's a double opt-in system, and you'll be there. And you'll get our weekly show reminder. It's the only place where you get the entire week's lineup of programming on the Computer America show. It's right there. So make sure you're joined up. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. We're going to be right back after your local and your national news, and we'll continue on with Larry Bushy, the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. It's another full hour of Linux on the Computer America Show. Stay with us.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
Broadcasting live, it's the only national radio talk show on computers to air every weeknight, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. The first hour's behind us, but there's still more of tech news, tech talk, and your phone calls. We're being beamed nationwide by the Business Talk Radio Network, the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, and on the internet at ComputerAmerica.com. You got computer problems? Bring them on. You're listening to Computer America. Computers run the world, and we run computers. Call us toll-free, 866-606-TALK.
That's 866-606-TALK. Or send us an email to live@computeramerica.com.
Hello and welcome into hour two of the nation's longest-running nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. This is the Computer America Show, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
I'm your co-host, Kerry Holzman.
And if you're just joining us, we are talking about Linux in both hours. Usually we dedicate a full show to the topic of Linux. And matter of fact, this month I think we're going to be dedicating two shows to the topic of Linux. Our guest for both hours is Larry Bushy. He is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. And we're discussing, we're kind of all over the road here, talking about whether Linux is right for you, whether what you need to do to get Linux, if you already have it. We're answering questions about it, what some of the best distributions are of Linux. We are just going to...
Trying to eliminate some of the confusion, if anybody has any confusion about Linux. I've even had people, I've had customers where I said, you know, once a month we do a Linux show, and they say, oh, really? What's Linux? And it's funny, we take a little bit for granted here. But, you know, for the benefit of listeners out there who have no clue what we're talking about, maybe we do need to take a step back and talk a little bit about what Linux is and why they might why it's important that we do shows on Linux.
Well, Linux is an operating system, just like Windows is an operating system, like DOS was an operating system, and like OS X is an operating system. It's something that runs your computer. It is nothing to be afraid of. It's just a piece of software that makes your computer work. It may look a little bit different. It may call things by different names. But in the end, it's just the same old thing. It's something that makes your computer work.
And it doesn't matter what kind of computer you have, right? I mean, as long as, if you've got a Windows-based computer right now, you have everything you need to run Linux.
That's exactly right. And if you are even running an older Macintosh, a PowerPC version of Mac, there are versions of Linux that will run on that as well. Although certainly,
I didn't even know that.
Although certainly Intel-based computers are the most popular, I guess primarily because Windows is the most popular operating system out there, there are just that many more of them. But the PowerPC, there are some versions of Linux that run on that as well.
I foresee a future, Larry, where everything we do was online. I foresee a future where we no longer install applications on our computers, that all the applications are online. That way we're all running the same version. And as a technician, and as I'm sure you're well aware with your background, when does a computer crash? Generally when you change something, meaning when you update, put the patch on the software, upgrade the software, put a new piece of software in. Sometimes people will tweak the operating system in order to eke out a little more performance. An example would be taking a Windows machine and setting a permanent size swap file that's perfect for the way you use your computer today, and then forgetting all about it a year later when you put some new piece of software on, heavy-duty Photoshop or Premiere Elements or something, Adobe Premiere video editing, and suddenly the computer starts crashing and you have no idea why, and you look for technical support and try this, that, and the other, and in frustration you wipe the thing out, reinstall Windows, and everything works, and you go, I see it was that darn Windows. When all along it was probably just running out of virtual memory that you limited and did to yourself. I foresee all those problems going away when you can do all of it online. And when you can do all of it online, I think Linux is the... I think that's going to be the day, in my opinion, everybody's going to run Linux, because you don't have these types of issues of... Because right now, if I install Linux on my machine right now, I've got to find all these other applications that do what the Windows applications do I'm using now. For example, email. I've got to find something like Outlook. Well, that's not going to be too difficult. I use Peachtree in my business. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be pretty hard to find something like Peachtree, I think, in Linux. If you use AOL, there just isn't a solution in Linux for AOL. So I think once... And who would benefit more than somebody who uses, in my opinion, AOL, because AOL makes the Internet very... welcoming. It strips away a lot of the daunting technical and danger of the internet, not all of it, but a lot of it, so that, you know, a lot of retired people who are self-proclaimed, you know, not computer literate, use AOL every day, still use their dial-up connections, and these would be the perfect candidates for running Linux. Would you not agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And when we do get to the point where we're running everything online, it doesn't matter what the operating system is. And you're quite right. But in a way,
I mean, I understand what you're saying when you say it doesn't matter what the operating system is. But in a way, it does, because why pay for an operating system when you can get the exact – see, right now you can't say that with Linux. You can get the exact same experience when everything's online, regardless, except the Linux operating system will be free. And I think that's going to be a huge difference.
Well, you made the point I was going to make, and that is the overriding factor then would be how much does it cost to run your operating system? And with Linux being free, meaning no cost, then it definitely then becomes the most advantageous operating system to run, because you can run it at no cost. And I know... when you've spoken with your other Linux guests in the past, we've heard them talk about the fact that Linux is free from a couple of different perspectives, not just monetarily, but also free from the perspective of open source and open speech.
We've had Richard Stallman on the show a couple of times, and he has thoroughly confused me with, what is it, free as in free beer? I think that's his expression. Or is it free, not as in free beer? I can't remember the way he phrased it. It was a little overwhelming. He's a very smart man, and I would be lying if I said I completely understood everything he said. But
I certainly like the concepts. I have to agree with you as well. Yeah, he tends to be on the evangelistic side of things. Very smart man, very well versed, and I have to say I agree with a lot of the things that he has to say when I can understand them. But the typical phrase that you were searching for is free as in beer or free as in speech. And free as in beer meaning if you have free beer, it's no cost. If you have free speech, we're talking about the freedom of doing things that you want to, or saying things that you want to say in the way that you want to say them. And those are the two freedoms we're talking about. And Linux, the freedom of speech issue with Linux has to do with the fact that it is open source, that it is, well, one of our listeners put it this way, I want to be able to run my computer the way I want to run it. I own my computer, and not the software companies that write the operating system to run on it.
It's not even just the operating system software manufacturers, but it's also look at Intuit. Intuit has this process of sunsetting, what they call sunsetting, not my word, theirs, where you take an ordinary, perfectly good working 5-year-old copy of QuickBooks and through an update through the internet disable its ability to communicate with your bank, thereby forcing you into an upgrade. And that is sort of to me, it's the biggest insult in the world is to, you know, take something that's working perfectly good today and then to force a disabling or crippling upgrade, I use that word loosely, without the fully understanding of the user, because most users, let's face it, are just like most drivers of cars aren't mechanics. Most users of computers are not geeks or nerds, and end up getting this update and then finding out now they can't communicate with the bank and now they're forced into some upgrade. So it's not just limited to the operating system. And what gets me even more is a lot of the DRM, as Richard Stallman likes to put it, the digital restrictions management.
Right.
And it seems to be getting more and more popular. And I think the more that Microsoft and these other large companies like Intuit tried it with TurboTax a couple years ago and messed up a lot of people. Speaking of which, today's that magic day. Make sure you get your taxes done by midnight, you know, otherwise you might be listening to us from a different kind of room altogether.
Wait a minute. Are you saying it's tax day? Oh, okay.
For some of us, I took care of mine a while back, but, you know, for some of us, there's even some some folks in the chat room suggesting that perhaps the servers will crash tonight over at the UARS for people who file online. I suppose if that happens, there'll probably be some extension given to anybody that's affected. But in any event, the digital rights management, as Richard Stallman says, the digital restrictions management is something that I think is going to drive people away from paid software and into the free software. And especially, as you mentioned, why buy one of these software applications for doing your taxes when it's free from the IRS right online? Here's a perfect example. Why buy Microsoft Office if I can go to HyperOffice? Was it HyperOffice or ThinkFree? I can go to thinkfree.com. I can use Google Docs or Google Spreadsheet. There's all kinds of online solutions for that. And it's putting my data up there. Right now, my favorite application for backing up data is Carbonite. For $50 a year, it uploads it secured and encrypted up on the internet for as much space as I want for $50 a year. I can't buy a portable hard drive that would hold the storage I need for $50. Mm-hmm. And webmail. Everybody's using Gmail. A lot of people are using Gmail. A lot of people are using Yahoo and Hotmail. I think we're heading in the right direction.
I think once we are, and I think as well that it's going to change the business model for companies writing software. As you observed, companies like Intuit need to change their model every year or two in order to continue to require people to upgrade so that they buy the newest model. Otherwise, their income stream goes away. Right. And when you're talking about the online software, it's perpetually upgradable without any penalty to the user, because as an upgrade happens, there's nothing to install on the user's computer. You just install it wherever that software is resident, and immediately every user gets the upgrade. But there's got to be a different profit model in there for those companies who are writing that software. And when you're talking about things like Linux, getting back to that as the operating system, it being free is something that confuses a lot of people as well. And because how does a company make money if they're going to be writing the Linux software? And that's a question we get an awful lot at Going Linux as well.
What's the answer?
Well, it's really not a simple answer. It's something we're probably going to have to wait until after the break to do.
Ah, all right. Well, that's what that music will do. Right when we get to the good parts, it seems to happen. But I'll tell you what, if you have a question, of course, you're welcome to call us. It's toll-free, 866-606-TALK. Join us in our chat room at ComputerAmerica.com or email us at ComputerAmerica.com. All this hour, talking with Larry Bushy of the Going Linux podcast, and we'll have more with him right after these messages. So please, stay with us.
It's 24 minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show, 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at ComputerAmerica.com or the chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. Carrie and I are talking to Larry Bushy. He is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. We're dedicating both hours of the Computer America Show to Linux. Speaking of Linux, we are going to have another Linux show later on in the month. And that will be Linux Magazine will be on the program. We're going to have Jason Perlow, who is a senior technology editor for Linux Magazine, and will be joining us on the show to talk about all things Linux. I'm just kind of curious. Do you read Linux Magazine, Larry?
I don't subscribe to it. I read it online.
Ah, well, okay.
You know, I'm not a faithful reader who, you know, sits by the computer and waits for the latest episode to come out, but hey, I read the articles from time to time.
Yeah, listen, I don't subscribe to Macworld either, and I got a Mac, so, there you go, but sure.
I subscribe to magazines that I read the articles in from time to time.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Mostly for the pictures, though. So, where were we? We're talking about Linux and how they're making any money, and you said it was sort of a... I don't know what your worry was.
A simple answer to a simple
question.
There are a lot of reasons why Linux is free and how these organizations go about creating an operating system that they don't charge any money for. First of all, I have to say that there are some Linux distributions out there that you can pay for if you so choose. And in fact, many people will donate to a Linux distribution or to open source software, whether that's OpenOffice or some other open source project that's out there, they'll give donations. But many times the donations are in the form of programmers' time. And there are many, many volunteers who work on the Linux operating system and on open source software that contribute to the first-rate software programs that they are. And that's one of the ways that the costs of producing the software can be kept down. Another is that companies like Novell, who are the creators of the OpenSUSE Linux distribution, and Canonical, which is the company behind Ubuntu, they will freely distribute their open source versions of their software. In the case of Ubuntu, all of their software is open source. All of their operating systems are open source. And in the case of SUSE Linux, they have an open source version, but they also make a version that is paid for. It's the Enterprise Edition, and they charge companies for that. And in addition, both of those companies charge for the support. And so that's how they make the money that supports, or at least part of the money that supports, the development of these programs. And in many cases, these companies will give away, taking SUSE Linux as the specific example of this, Novell gives away the OpenSUSE version, and that particular version is very cutting edge in terms of what new features are in there. Not that they are alpha or beta versions of software necessarily, which are typically pre-release versions, but they will experiment with different types of programs to do things like manage your network or to run the menus that you see on your, what a Windows user would call the start menu. So they'll experiment with that in the open source version, and they'll release those versions fairly frequently. Then they'll use the most stable things that they find in their Enterprise Edition and then release that on a less frequent basis with all of the support behind it that a company would need to be able to rely on it to run their enterprise.
So yeah, a lot of companies do require a finger to point. You know, I know a lot of like big corporations wouldn't accept free software as a server solution unless there was a finger to point if something went drastically wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. And there are a lot of models of free software out there. I think I've heard you on your show talk about the CRM software, the customer relationship management software that's out there, Sugar CRM, that's a free open source version of an enterprise software, a software program that's designed specifically for a company as opposed to an end user. And they're using the same model where they're not charging for the software itself, but rather charging for the support that goes along with making it work.
Sure, sure. In fact, we have a free software link on our homepage where it's mostly dedicated to all, you know, Windows. But you don't have to pay money to pay for Symantec or McAfee antivirus, for example, when you can get AVG for free. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, where they're selling it to the businesses and giving it away to the home users. It's sort of a similar yet different marketing model. But that just because it's free doesn't mean it's bad. But on the other hand, there's so much bad stuff out on the Internet. We decided we put a list together just so people knew the difference, because there's certainly a lot of anti-spyware applications out there that are really spyware.
Spyware,
and,
yes.
You know, again, another problem you wouldn't have to worry about if you were running Linux, because you don't have those problems with spyware and antivirus, or I guess even defragmenting for that matter, right?
Right. You don't have to defragment because the file system is sufficiently different that in, and there are different file systems you can get for different versions of Linux as well, but in general the file system doesn't require defragmentation.
All right.
I heard there wasn't even a defragmenter available. Isn't that true?
Hmm. I think you might be able to find one, but you certainly don't.
Okay.
Well, this is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. It's Linux, Linux, and more Linux this hour with Larry Bushy, the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. We'll continue on with them right after this.
Mm-hmm.
It's 34 minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show, 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at ComputerAmerica.com, the email address, or our chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. Larry Bushy joins us in this hour. He's actually been on for both hours. We're dedicating the show to the subject of Linux. He is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast that you can hear at goinglinux.com. The website is there. You can now the podcast itself. How often is it updated? Is it a daily? Is it weekly?
Well, we have two episodes a month. We do a listener feedback episode on the 5th of the month, or plus or minus a few days. And on the 20th of the month, we dig into a user experience episode that takes a topic that is of interest to either us, Tom, or myself, the two hosts of the show, or of one of our listeners, and we dig into it. And we actually dig into it over a two-month period. So it's really a two-part episode, if you will, one being the first month getting into an introduction on that topic, kind of a general overview, and then we dig into a little more depth in the second month on the 20th again, and get into some topics that might be of more interest to a more experienced user or somebody who has switched to Linux who is just building their confidence with Linux and need a little bit of prodding or a little bit of help to get something done.
And how long is the each podcast episode?
Well, we really don't have a fixed length, but most of them seem to end up being about half an hour to 40 minutes, and we've gone as short as 20 minutes and as long as an hour.
Okay, I invite you. Why don't you take it to five nights a week, 2 hours a night, and give that a shot and see how that works out for you.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't envy you guys.
Welcome to our world, Larry.
Yes, I understand. But what you do is your job. I also have a full-time day job as well.
Oh, we all have other jobs, too, I assure you.
We all.
What was that? What are you up to now? 1,002 columns you've written now, Craig?
Yeah, I just did my 1,000th newspaper column, Larry, and now I think I'm like 1,004, 1,005, but the columns are running little over 20 years doing this, the newspaper column. That's about several hundred newspapers, and of course, the Computer America now is well into its 17th year on broadcast radio, so we must be doing something.
That's a significant accomplishment.
Thank you. I got to tell you, doing it five nights a week, 2 hours a night, it's sometimes a little daunting, but you know, hey, we love it. And by the way, I'm on your website, and I see that you have a link. It says, "Hear Larry live on the Computer America Radio Show." So that's very nice. There you go. So hopefully a lot of your podcast listeners will listen to it. And by the way, you might want to mention that the archive of your appearance will be up for 2 weeks. We archive the past 2 weeks' worth of shows, and then they go off sort of into Never Never Land. We are working on a modification of that. Hopefully we'll have a longer duration for the podcast, maybe perhaps even all of them up there for all time. Well, a good sampling of them for a long time. But
can you imagine? No, there's not even going to be anywhere close to all of them.
17 years worth of them.
I figured we did 400. What did I say? 480 hours of radio in 2007.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That's a lot of server space.
Yeah.
So
it is.
To go back and do 2007 and 2006 and 2005.
Mm-hmm.
What, 1,400 hours?
It's a lot of talking.
That's not going to happen.
Well, at least we got the last 2 weeks worth, so you might want to
listen. Well, for sure we've got the last 2 weeks. So we are working on some other arguments. We'll talk about that tomorrow night's show. We've got Wednesday Madness coming up.
And you know what, Larry, if you want to, you have the last 2 weeks to download this one, then you might want to keep the one with you on your podcast page or something. So.
I will do that, that way we can...
You can always keep it. Yeah, they can listen
there
to
we go, and we can direct folks for future shows back to your website as well.
Hey, you see, it's one big reciprocal world on the internet, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to break for
sharing the love.
Break for 60 seconds, and then we'll continue on. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network, on the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. We're going Linux all this hour and the last hour as well. Stay with us. 60 seconds. Be right back.
Welcome back to the Computer America Show. We are live on the Business and Lifestyle Talk Radio Networks and broadcasting coast to coast Oh yeah, I already said that. Coast to coast on those previously mentioned networks and around the world off the web at computeramerica.com. You see, if we did this show, if we pre-recorded it, I would edit all that out and I would seem a lot smarter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you can fix all the
just a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, but that's live broadcast radio. Yeah, that's the fun.
It's good.
You keep changing
it's good
your
for you.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's
good for someone.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking with Larry Bushy. He's the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. That's a free podcast. Wouldn't that be ironic if you had to pay to download the Going Linux podcast?
Oh, yes, it would.
That would be wrong on so many levels.
Yes, it would.
Of course, it's a free podcast you can download. And learn all about Linux and hear about, one of the things that I find as a Windows tech is, anytime there's a problem, you can hit Google and see if somebody else had that problem, because more than likely somebody else already has had that problem. And Linux, I find it a little bit more difficult, however, to be able to, well, that's probably changed since when I had my thing, but to be able to listen to a podcast where you're hearing other people talk about the problems they're having. If you're running Linux, it may just relate to something you are having a problem with or will soon have a problem with. I notice that in the Windows world where somebody will be talking about some strange problem. Steve Bass does this all the time to me. He'll write an article in PC World about resetting the USB ports or something, and it'll be right when I'm having a problem with some USB port on a computer, and it'll be right just the perfect timing, and it's the very solution I was looking for. And that's the good thing about, listening to these podcasts and things is being able to sort of even if you don't need the answer today, you'll have it in the back of your mind and say, oh, I know they talked about this one day, and go back and get that information.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there are plenty of resources out there on the Internet. And one of them is Google itself. As you observed, the Google search engine really gets you to where you want to go and gets the answers you want. But one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that if you type into your browser search bar, not the search bar, but the address bar, www.google.com, you go to Google's main page. But if you type www.google.com/Linux, you go to a Google search page that searches for whatever you type in there within the Linux community.
And oh, that I never knew that.
Yeah, that in and of itself can help users to find help on a topic specific to Linux that might otherwise be way too broad. You might end up with search results that address Windows issues or Mac issues or something else. But if you use that particular search page, it's filtered so that all you get is Linux-related answers to your questions.
That's a great tip. In fact, when I do the show notes then, I'll be sure to add that in there as well. Because clearly, there's certainly a lot of forums out there in the Linux community to get answers. But again, nothing's more irritating, I think, to just about any forum community is when somebody's asking a question that's been asked 100 times over and didn't search the forums. So why not just save a step and just go right to Google and google.com/Linux and do your search there.
Yeah, and, even if you go into the forum, sometimes you end up with a post that's 3-4 years old, and you're getting very old information. And Linux is ever-evolving. We were talking about online applications and the fact that they would be free. Linux, because it's free, doesn't have this profit cycle where it has to be obsoleted every few years in order to keep the income stream coming to a company. It just continues to be upgraded and updated and new features added and compatibilities eliminated and exploits eradicated on a constant basis. And because of that, when you do get onto a forum site, you want to make sure that you're looking for a recent post that answers your question. Take a look at the date on the forum. And then if you can't find something, even if it's something that's been addressed a year or two earlier, it's definitely worth asking again because things have changed.
What would be, just to switch gears a little bit here, what would be your favorite or most cherished Linux application?
Oh, wow. I think that the one that I've got two answers to this. So the most favorite application that I have within Linux that I use day-to-day is OpenOffice. because it's just so powerful, so robust, and I can use it on my Windows computer at work as well.
And they just released a new version of that, 2.4.0 now.
Exactly. And the other thing I stumbled across recently is a Linux distribution called AndLinux. Strange name, but when you think about what it does, it kind of makes sense. It is a distribution of Linux that's designed to work within Windows. You install it like a regular Windows application, and it puts a new start menu, the KDE K menu, in your Windows taskbar, and then you have all of your Linux applications that you can run in a Windows window. And I just love that.
So is that anything like Wubi?
Different entirely. What Wubi is designed to do is to be able to install a real Linux application, or a real Linux distribution, rather, and make it so that when you reboot the computer, you are running Linux. What AndLinux does is it's a Linux application, or Linux distribution, rather, that runs simultaneously with Windows. So it actually is kind of a virtual version of Linux, not a VMware sort of thing, but it's a virtual version of Linux that's running, cohabitating within Windows.
Let me ask a question that we just received from a listener. Tony is asking that he's got Kubuntu, and he's got a problem getting in our chat. Getting in the chat. He says he has MPlayer installed, and it will play podcasts, but it will not play live stuff. Can you help? Well, okay, so he's having a problem getting in the chat, and he's having problems listening to the podcast. Well, gosh, that's quite a handful. Any tips?
Yeah. I'm running Kubuntu as well on my computer, and I have neither of those problems, which, of course, doesn't solve his problem. But it does give him some hope that they can be solved. Probably what's going on is that he needs to install the codecs, or those little pieces of software that are licensed to play things like MP3 or MPEG videos. Those little pieces of software that enable those are not installed by default under many Linux distributions. Kubuntu being one of them, Ubuntu being its twin brother, if you will. And there are some different ways to install that. From the package manager, you would go and you would search for Kubuntu extras or restricted extras and install those particular packages. And what those do is they enable many of the codecs that you need to do multimedia sorts of things. And one of the reasons why Linux distributions don't install those by default is because many of those codecs are requiring that you pay for them in order to use them.
Really?
And okay. Yeah. And so being a free, as in speech in this case, operating system, many Linux distributions don't install that by default. Now, they leave it up to the user to install them, and you can get those codecs legally within the United States, which is where the problem really is. It's U.S. laws that have caused the problem. And you can go to the Fluendo website, which I think is fluendo.org, if I'm not mistaken. I'll look that up. But the Fluendo website is one where you can purchase those codecs or purchase the license to use those codecs legally within the United States. So there are ways to make this happen. The chat room, on the other hand, is probably, since it runs in Java, he probably just needs to install the latest version of Java. You can go on to the Sun website.
Java.com.
Exactly. Or usually a better recommendation under Linux is to go in, again, to the package manager in Kubuntu. That would be the ADEPT package manager, A-D-E-P-T is the name of the package manager, which is where you install new applications and software. And look for, you do a search within the package manager for Java or Sun Java if you want to install the brand name, if you will, and you'll find that it's probably not installed But with a right click and an install selection, you can get it installed when you run that application.
Yeah, it seems there's a lot of confusion with typically with the Linux community that chat rooms are all IRC based, and
yes.
Of course our chat room is Java based.
Yeah.
I don't care for that whole IRC thing, and in fact, we have some control with the Java chat room that we don't get with the IRC chat room. And
yep.
Anyway, there's a couple of reasons why we run it that way. However, you do need to have Java installed, whether it's Macintosh or a Windows computer or Linux. It's a free download, and it's simple enough. It won't cause any harm. It's not any spyware or anything, and that'll get you right into our chat room. Tony, I hope that helps, and if it does or if it doesn't, let us know one way or the other. We'd appreciate it. We've got one more segment, so don't go too far. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. Been talking for both hours. Larry Bushy, our guest, the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast, which you can hear at goinglinux.com. We've been discussing Linux from all points of view, from the novice to someone who's obviously people who are experts and use it all the time. You don't have to be an expert in Linux to productively use it, obviously, just like Windows or Macintosh. A lot of people don't really care about the operating system. They just want to productively use the computer. They want to, you know, write their book or do their word processing documents, and they just want it to work, and which I think is a fair assessment for a great deal of people who use computers today. And then, of course, there are the people who like to get under the hood and tinker. You know, there's that audience, too, and certainly Linux is one that will let you do that. You really can't get under the hood too much in the Windows operating system. I mean, you can't get to the core of it, whereas with Linux it's completely open, and you certainly can mess around right with the engine. Fair assessment, Larry?
Oh, that's absolutely true. And we were talking about the command line earlier in the chat room, and the command line in Linux is much, much more powerful than the graphical user interface. There are things you can do in the command line that you couldn't dream of doing with the limitations of a graphical user interface.
Mm-hmm. So is one of those global thermonuclear war?
No, I think that's a sci-fi movie.
War Games, oh. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that was one heck of a command prompt he had in
yeah.
that movie, let me tell you.
It was, yes, it was.
But to use the command line, I mean, it's cryptic. I mean, even DOS was cryptic, CPM cryptic, and you can't go into terminal mode in the Mac and get into the Unix level down there and issue commands. So you can do that, but sure. There are certain limitations because you really can't mess around with the core. But with Linux, you can do that. I mean, if you can make your own distribution if you want, even so.
Sure.
It's completely and totally open. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a programmer and you see something in Linux that doesn't work right, fix it.
Yeah.
Contribute it to the Linux community, and mm-hmm. it'll get incorporated if it's good.
There you go. That's it. Well, Larry, we're fresh out of time. I want to tell you that it was a pleasure having you here on the show, and certainly
it's a
hopefully
pleasure being here.
And hopefully a lot of our listeners will start listening to the Going Linux podcast. And as I said, you're more than welcome to download this broadcast and put it up there on your website if you want to.
Thank
as
you.
Well. And certainly would love to have you back again. We're, as I say, every month we do Linux shows, and at least one, and if not more. This one we're doing two this month. Because it's there are so many people out there who are really interested in it. And what we do here at Computer America is we try to find things that are of interest to all of our listeners. Larry, thanks so much for being here with us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'd be glad to come back anytime.
All right, Larry, take care. Have a great evening.
You too, thanks.
Good night now. Bye-bye. All right, well, that about wraps up the Computer America show. Tomorrow night, it's Wednesday Madness. Ah, yes. And I think we have tentatively internet superstar.
Well,
no,
that's not going to happen. But we're going to try and see if we can get somebody from Revision 3 on.
Okay.
I just got notification today. We're trying to get Martin Sargent on. He's been on the show before. He's got a new show called Internet Superstar, which is hilarious. It sort of takes him back to the old Tech TV days of the show he was doing there.
Whoa.
But we'll see. We'll see what we can do. We're trying to get somebody from Revision 3. It's Wednesday, Madness. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's right. You got to tune in and find out. And, of course, we entertain your phone calls on any topic on Wednesday Madness. That's one of the main ideas behind it. So that about wraps it up. And until tomorrow night, this is Craig Crossman hoping that your hard disk never becomes floppy. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Good night, everyone.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
Music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.